Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, it's a shame. What is TechNori? Well, put simply, TechNori is a startup where startups go to showcase. And boy, do they ever. Since 2010, 275 plus startups have been featured by us. And to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Speaking of showcase, we announced our November 16th showcase at Chase Auditorium, which will be dedicated to our nation's amazing veteran entrepreneurs. We've partnered with Bunker Labs for this. So go to technori.com, use the promo code WGN, and save yourself a little bit of scratch on your way to an incredible startup showcase. And now let's get to the show. I'm Scott Catoon. This is TechNori Live. Virtual reality, VR for the cool kids, is one of the most exciting pieces of tech going on. But in all reality, what excites me most about it is how close we're getting to Total Recall moments. I'm an Arnold fan, fanatic, and to get this close to Total Recall is amazing. But really, though, it's the application and things that you would not naturally think of. Retail shopping, for example. In studio to talk more about VR game, how this game changer for brick and mortar is this InContext Solutions CTO, Tracy Widmeyer. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. So I guess first, congrats, I should say, on the $15 million that was raised. That's phenomenal and great for the city of Chicago as well as your company.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of hard work went into that, but we're stoked about it, definitely.
So I wanted to ask before we kind of get off on sort of what you guys do, and we're going to start kind of delving into VR a little bit. What, as a company that's trying to raise, that's a significant amount of money. Obviously, the big, you know, it got news coverage for sure, and it deserved it. Mm-hmm. But the big, like, whopping $170 million goes to SMS Assist, and Goldman Sachs leads the round. You know, those are the numbers that hit the sort of the mainstream media, and people learn about it. What do you think is so difficult about getting enough attention and getting yourself in a position to raise that kind of large number?
Yeah, I think definitely that the industry and the approach you're taking as a company, whether it's B2C or B2B, yep. You know, we play in the enterprise SaaS space, which is a little bit of a longer road to hoe, yep. In terms of raising that type of fund. You have to see significant traction. You maybe don't have the number of clients that you might get in a B2C, the eyeballs, you know, being able to sell advertising and that part of it. So for us, we also took a little bit more of a pragmatic view in terms of our business. I think part of that is grounded in the Midwest, you know, kind of where we started and have our roots. You know, I think for that approach, it just made sense for us to take a smaller round. Yeah. And 15 seems small when you talk about those numbers.
Well, but yeah, in reality, it's totally not. Like, yes, absolutely. I don't mean to be minimizing. It's an amazing, put it this way. Your growth schedule is going to look okay,
right?
It's
absolutely
going to be okay. But you know, you mentioned this with the Midwest. I think, and we're working hard with TechNori. We just announced this crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding piece. Obviously, that's not for companies at your stage. This is, you know, first time raisers and companies such that are trying to get their first round or family, friends and family round. But people talk about how the Midwest is a little bit harder to raise, and it's a little harder to make a boom and get that sort of big yep. thing going. And we've worked hard, or we're working hard to bring the coastal money, so to speak, here to the Midwest and giving you the opportunity to get out in front of bigger ones. Did you look only at the Midwest, or did you branch out and take meetings, you know, out west or out east? What was
We definitely went all over the coast. I mean, I think our approach was go to the coast first, to some of the hot spots, just to see the large
scale.
Get the
big yellow school bus and drive home and pick up all the hitchhikers with cash.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think when we've raised a couple rounds of funding now, what we notice in the Midwest is, you know, I don't mean to demean it, but you get some poser investors where they act like they're going to make the big check, right? They're going to invest in the dream, and then they want the return of a bond, right, and the risk profile of a bond. And it just doesn't make much sense. So when you try to go out and look at the coast, it's a completely different conversation, less around the fundamentals of the company, yeah. more about what's the vision, where are you going to take this, what's the opportunity. We noticed that pretty early on. The last round we raised, our Series D, a year and a half ago, we noticed those conversations changing a little bit when we would talk to the people on the coast, but we just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Now that we kind of made a concerted effort to go to the coast, it was a different conversation from the start.
And yeah, I mean, honestly, I certainly think that the fundamentals of the company are very important. I do think that the success of Chicago startups are rooted and will continue to be rooted in the methodical way that we go about our business. That said, though, I have run into more investors than I can shake a stick at that just are, for lack of a better term, it's clueless. Like, you've never actually run a small business or startup.
Absolutely.
Like, you made your money wherever you made it, or maybe you didn't make it because you're just full of shit altogether. But whatever it is, they don't understand sometimes the struggles and things that we're trying to do. And that in all reality, if you get caught in the weeds running your company and dealing with, like, we're acting like a very big company right off the bat, we've got all of our protocols in place. You're just gonna miss it all together. Like,
yeah, give me a budget, right?
The window on what you're trying to do will have passed before you get done with your budget.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when we give you a budget, we're holding you to the penny type of thing. It's like, well, clearly you've never ran a business, been in the trenches, that sort of thing.
Basically, as long as there's not like a Tesla at the bottom of the list there, like that's essentially all that I'm looking for.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, that's enough knocking around on that. I just wanted to congratulate you on the money. And I know that a lot of our audience members are those who are in that position where this is that next round for them. They're looking to figure out how to do it. And I thought it was a good opportunity for people to realize that, one, that $15 million is nothing to shake your head at. And two, that a lot of work goes into that. It's not like, I think it's doable, and I don't think it's impossible like people think it is, but you have to do it the right way and take a strategic stab at it like you would your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we literally were on flights, you know, every other week to the coasts. Myself and our CEO, we could probably write a book on some of the experiences we've had all the way pitching to CEOs of large companies with our flies down to, having to spend the night in an airport because, a hurricane or something hit in Houston or there's too much ramming. All over the board. So it's definitely, time away from your family, more importantly, time away from your business. Not for the faint of heart, for sure.
I would say. So I guess, again, we kind of glossed over what In Context is and what VR is. R.
Yep.
That's one of those weird, VR is one
RR,
of those weird
yeah.
ones. It's an RR. Is VR, is that plural? Is virtual realities? No, it is virtual reality. I don't know. Anyway, so I want you to first kind of go into the background of what In Context is. On what they're trying to do. And I think we're going to play and have a little fun with VR and see where that can go.
Okay, sure. So we started in 2009. We ultimately created a desktop platform for brands and retailers to plan their go-to-market strategy. So think of, for instance, a cereal maker like Kellogg's trying to create an end cap display or a piece of signage there. When you walk into a grocery store, you end up picking a product off that shelf because of some display or signage or pricing or promotion they had in the store. So the traditional way that they would plan those resets and assortment of products was basically going to the retailers, begging for a store that they could try to test and market. And these days, retailers like, I can't allow you to do that. It's too disruptive of operations. You're probably going to degrade category sales. I just can't do it. Yeah. There's got to be a better way. So what we started doing was consulting projects for these brands, and ultimately that grew into the platform where now a Kellogg's, Colgate, these types of companies can create their own simulations, drag and drop, upload their artwork from the agencies, redesign their planograms, and first and most importantly, understand what it's going to look like. And they might start with five or six different concepts. If it's a Coke can, it might be red, what they have now, blue, yellow, different variations.
Sure.
So they'll narrow that down once they look at it and go, okay, get rid of a couple of these options here, but God, these three options, these things look great. Let's get some consumer testing on that. So what we do is package up that 3D simulation as a video game, essentially, wrap a couple survey questions around, and then integrate with people who take online surveys. So, people who are part of rewards panels or get the virtual points or whatever it is, they answer a few survey questions, and then they play a video game, essentially, in a shopping trip, basically a mission-based. So, hey, go pretend you're stocking up on cereal. What would you buy? And then we track all that data based on what they looked at and put in their cart, what they looked at, put back. And the unique thing about us is we can tie attitudes and behavior. So a lot of times it's, hey, look at this package in isolation, just answer a few questions. Would you buy this new package? And people are like, absolutely, I would. And then you put it on the shelf in the context of all the other products, it gets lost.
Yep.
So we can tie attitudes and behaviors by going, hey, you called yourself a Cheerios buyer, but you didn't buy any. Why was it? Didn't notice the brand because it changed packaging, too expensive, or what was it? So that's an innovation we brought to the industry. And through that desktop platform, we're giving them a lot of tools to kind of speed their execution, be much more confident in their decisions. And now when you bring up virtual reality, we've kind of been playing in this virtual market research arena for the last 4 or 5 years. Only now is headset technology, software, the game engine's caught up, where now you can physically put the headset on and it's like you're in the store. making these decisions, both from a testing standpoint as well as a planning standpoint. So you and I could be in completely different cities. We put a headset on together. We're in the same virtual store, and I'm pitching my ideas to you as the brand manager, and you're like, okay, now I understand what you're talking about, instead of a PDF or a PowerPoint or flying you into a central location to look at it.
So, I mean, I guess, first off, very cool, and I love, you know, I guess there's something about the retail space that has always been interesting to me. I worked in managing it in commercial real estate. I worked, dabbled in the sort of app sales of, you know, we had a company that we were working with that had built an app that could essentially give you geolocation and what they call geoconquesting for some of these stores. And then we had the next piece, which was the augmented reality, which we can kind of touch on as well, and some of its flops and failures.
Yep.
But the bottom line was, some of these slow movers are very difficult to convince that they need help and that they need help particularly from tech. And it's, I guess I want to ask you, for the viewer as well as just my own personal interest, how you crack the code, because pun intended as a CTO, how you crack the code in this, because the reality is every conversation we had, I didn't have virtual reality to show them sort of what I'm saying, but it would run into this like wall of like, well, but how much money am I going to get now, and how much am I going to pay out the door? And if you have to pay anything up front, then there was like, no, we're out.
Yep.
So how did you guys, as a company, not just the virtual stuff, as a company, how did you get past that?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. And I think one of the trends that's been working in our favor is we sort of equate the retail industry in general kind of like the newspaper industry, right?
Where for sure.
It's getting eaten by software, by other
companies.
Yeah, lower
your voice, though. We are in Tribune Tower. These people don't know they're going to lose their job.
Right. You know, that's sort of a trend that we've been having to fight against early on. But now that you have companies like Amazon and all the online retailers kind of eating some of their lunch, it's
I was just going to say that. Literally.
Yeah, it's an easier place for us to play now. We've also got a lot of case studies in ROI. I mean, the platform now that we've been selling is 4 years old. So at this point, we know how much money we're going to save you. We can, with a high degree of confidence, predict, you know, where your spend is going to be or how much more accurate your decisions are going to be. And that's gold for these retailers and manufacturers at this age, where they just didn't have those tools before.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a culmination of the technology getting there and now the industry trends just forcing them to
I was going to say, it seems like before, you know, now that I think, and I honestly didn't think about this until you just said that, it seems like before when I would go in and meet with them, it was sort of like, well, this is the risk of the unknown versus the risk of, well, you say that they're going to come eat our lunch, but I haven't seen it yet type of attitude.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, shit, my lunch is gone and you telling me I got an out? I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's you fight the status quo because we keep hearing, well, that's just how we've always done it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't take, I mean, for instance, we have retailers who start Christmas planning in June. Right, because it takes them 6 months to figure out, where you have somebody like Amazon, they're, you know, in a couple hours, they're
right into bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that type of optics, I think, and that lens that we help approach our clients with. And at this point, because of our history, we're more trusted partners than anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where you want to be. I mean, obviously, it enables you, I think, as a business to also kind of expand and play, which is what led you into this virtual reality thing. And you have the chance to adapt and do things because you know that your customers believe in you and trust you, so they're not going to go running away.
Yep.
They give you time to sort of develop the new thing. VR is that, I think, for you guys as well, as just, you know, it's a huge topic across the board of tech. I mean, obviously, there's gamers and video game people talking about it, but the different applications of where this can go, from travel to medical devices and using, you know, practicing and being able to recreate the experience of working in the ER.
Yep.
And there's just so many places. What did you see as a company or personally about VR that you thought was particularly attractive to in context? Because it's obvious, right? Like sort of to like the person who doesn't know retail, maybe not. But if you're in the space, it's obvious that any sort of replication of what's going on for the purposes of gathering intel would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always been about the immersion. So when we created our desktop platform, you're looking at it on a 22-inch monitor, right?
Yep.
And there's a certain elevation of the conversation there based on a PDF or a PowerPoint, right? The old ways of kind of disseminating that information. But if you look to VR with headsets, you get a completely different level of immersion. You know, I think on a 2D monitor, you still have executives or directors, senior directors of these large brands who just have to see it in person, right? They're not going to get it on a 2D monitor to make a decision that they're putting their job on the line for. So when you put the headset on, though, and as if you're walking around in that alternate reality, you get a completely different picture. That level of immersion has allowed a lot of our clients to bypass having to manage a warehouse where they literally have mock stores, and they're just physically stocking out these new concepts, flying in, looking at it, saying, I don't like this, change this, I'll fly back in a couple weeks. Yeah. That's why it takes 6 to 8 months sometimes to plan these major resets.
I just started laughing because when you started talking about the 2D and 3D TVs, I was talking to, I'm not going to say the person on there, it's a large company.
Okay.
And I was talking to them about, we have a technology studio where we pitch, like, create podcasts and essentially give companies the ability to create their own content. Mm-hmm. And I was pitching this to him, and he kept just, like, glossing over. And I was like, you know, this isn't that high tech, right? It's a podcast. Like, there's apps and stuff involved with what we can do, but we hadn't gotten there. And in my mind, I just couldn't believe it. So I walk out, I pick up the phone, and I call one of the guys I work with, and I said, this dude sees in 2D, and I just laughed. So when you said that, I was like watching your face try to like stare at you so I didn't break out laughing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just wanted you to know I wasn't like creeping on you. So, you know, I think before we kind of close out here, a few things that I wanted to ask you at the opportunity is, two, I'm going to change the questions I had written down.
Okay.
Two different questions. I was originally going to say, where do you see VR in 5 and 10 years? I will make that to just go whatever in 10 years. Where do you see VR going?
Yep.
And the second question I'm going to ask you is, the retail market as a whole, obviously we've discussed and everyone knows that Amazon, all these companies are eating lunch, but the brick and mortar thing can't ever go away. People still have to get things down the corner. And even if you have these amazing luxury services where they bring stuff to you and take it away, at some point you have to leave your condo.
Right.
Right. Yep. So where do you see the brick and mortar transition going?
Yep. So I think in terms of where VR is going, I was mentioning this to a few people early on out in the lobby. You see the trends of technology giving you things like 4K and 8K resolution up to 10K. I mean, even Samsung's released some R&D efforts around 10K.
That's insane.
Which becomes almost indistinguishable for the human eye, right? Yeah. So when you put the headset on, you almost won't be able to tell if it's reality or alternate reality.
Pornhub, their stock is just flying
out. Absolutely.
The shelf.
I mean, they're the investors in the future.
Are, yeah.
But I think when you have technology like that and you have some other components around software speed and driving that latency down so it feels natural to your brain, I think that's where you're going to start to see some realities around you know, everyday world. So it's things like shopping, right? How do you provide a more engaging shopping experience? Everybody, when they look at what we do, and you've got, you know, 68 feet of shelf space and it's, you know, 400 boxes of cereal, that's a brick and mortar view of the world. What would happen if I could create your own store with beer and cereal on the same shelf at runtime with any categories next to themselves in a reality where it looks and feels real and gives you the convenience of, you know, 24-hour delivery or 2-hour delivery or whatever Amazon wants to do? That's where the world's going. It's providing that leap there to make it more convenient, more of an experience, more relevant personally to you.
I have to tell you, I've had a lot of impressive entrepreneurs and people sit in the chair. That was one of the lines you had there was one of the smartest, not to sound like a condescending prick, but one of the smartest, one of the smartest things I've heard and one of the coolest future glimpses I've seen. The reality of sort of, for lack of a better analogy, I'm not as smart as you, for lack of a better analogy, like iTunes, when they pick all the different songs and you only see the list of stuff that you most likely would listen to or Netflix. To have your shopping experience be like that, where beer is next to cereal, is next to steak, is next to buns and mustard, because that's my diet.
Right, exactly. And that
is my
data
diet.
Has been around. That's great to hear. Yeah. That data has been around, right? We've been giving up
but
our data
do you use
for a while.
It? And that's the
right.
thing. Like, we've talked about the, we're still in kind of coming out, not coming out of, but engulfed in this big data.
Yep.
And the next evolution is, how do we use big data? And you guys are so well set up for how to use big data. It's going to be amazing to watch you guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and 3D mapping technology. So you can take something that's traditionally been viewed on a 2D plane into 3D space by mapping it. I mean, that's the next evolution of being able to rig and animate products inside of 3D. to create that memory for you so you want to come back to that experience. You can't get that on a 2D website at this point.
That is awesome. Tracy, where do people go to learn more about InContext Solutions?
InContextSolutions.com. There's numerous videos, plenty of collateral, lots of information up there.
Lots of virtual reality for them to play with.
Yes.
Very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So last little plug I have to give to the Technori event. It is on November 16th at Chase Auditorium. We have partnered with the Bunker Labs to create a fully dedicated to entrepreneurs who are veterans on stage event. It is going to be amazing. Go to technori.com. Buy your tickets now. Buy your tickets tomorrow. Buy tickets for your friends. Buy tickets for your grandma. Buy tickets for everybody. Make sure you use WGN as the promo code. Save yourself, I believe it's 25%. If not, I'll change it after the show to make it 25% so I'm not wrong. Thank you guys very much. You can stream this episode and more on technori.com. You can stay connected and up to date by following our Technori stories or our Technori bites. And follow us at Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.